guys, welcome to The Things I Do For Love, a brief Game of Thrones card game podcast. Okay, folks, welcome back to another episode of The Things I Do For Love. We're embarking on our game plan of spreading out, branching out beyond North America. And our first guest, I suppose, is still rather Anglo-centric, shall we say, or at least primarily English-speaking, as I understand things. But, you know, that seems like a reasonable starting place, and we'll see if we can bring folks from the outlying nations on a little later. So this week we have Matt on with me. So Matt, why don't you give a quick little introduction of yourself, and then we can segue into the topic you brought with you.
Yeah, excellent. So my name's Matt. I'm a famous Targaryen loyalist from the UK, famous within the UK at least for solely playing Targaryen. I'm part of the London Koskies meta, and I think my current claim to fame in terms of Targaryen tournament success would be this year, taking a Targaryen corset owning deck to the Brighton charity event and making it into the cut. That was really my protest at all the bad Targaryen cards we'd got in Cycle 2.
So what in particular about Targaryen were you really wanting to hit on?
Actually, there's a lot of different deck types for Targaryen. You know, I was just thinking about it before we caught up, and I've written down 11 different types of decks that you can play out of Targaryen. So I think even though they don't have a deluxe box, there is quite a lot of variability in their play.
I'm quite curious about this versatility that you've got marked down. So lead on, Macduff.
Yeah. So something I've been trying for a long time, and it's not really worked so well, is to build a Voltron deck. And as we know, like attachments are part of their theme. So I've been trying to build decks with Dany and try and stick as many attachments on as possible. And it's a mixed success, I would say. And what I've tried to do is banner into Rose so I could get Hobo out, get out Dany, and start the process. But I feel that is jank level play because you're really hoping to open Summer Harvest and you're opening Summer Harvest and you're hoping your opponent plays a plot that is good for you, you know, like trade-in or Late Summer Feast. It doesn't always work that way, to be honest. So I've kind of come up with a new way of playing the Dany and Drogo Voltron, and that's the first thing to do, is you can't really rely on one character, because I think even if you mulligan for them, you're probably going to see them slightly less than half the time. So if you have two potential Voltrons, you've got the advantage of maybe depending on the matchup, you can try and search for the one that'll be more important. So certainly Dany would be great against certain matchups and Khal Drogo against other matchups. And a lot of the attachments you can put on them, go on both of them, Seal of the Hand, the new Toker attachment. So I am thinking a little bit ahead here. Green Dreams is a nice one of.
You know, cheap. I love Green Dreams.
It's great as long as you're not playing it with Shadow Black Lane, because then it really doesn't work so well. Because you look at the top card, you think, oh, that's a good card, I'll keep that. And then you think, Shadow Black Lane, I'm going to shuffle that card somewhere else. So I've learned that.
Yes.
There's a lot of new positive attachments that go well on them as well. So I'm experimenting with that. Currently 3-4 with such a build, but it's kind of my main thing I'm trying to do at the moment.
Okay.
One of my go-to deck this year for regionals and Euros has actually been the Annals of Castle Black build, where you run in 18 events, really no attachments, maybe only Slavers, not Slavers Bayport, Plaza of Pride for you standard cheap guys. And, you know, I've done reasonably well with that build. You know, I find you can get in a situation where your opponent, you know, turn 4, where you do play your Annals of Castle Black, they are so stuck because you've got two or three Jakaris in your discard pile. You've got a couple of hand judgments in there, a couple of other control cards, and they just don't want to do any challenges whatsoever. And it's only getting better with Wheels Within Wheels, which is a bit of a crazy card. That's a crazy plot to combine with Annals of Castle Black, to be honest.
Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, I'll briefly go through some of the other builds that I've played this year. I mean, there's the good stuff build, which I would say you can just look on ThronesDB and you can see someone who's played just a standard build, you know. Friedrich Harris, Dragons, Danny, maybe one Miri, a few other things, one or two Astapor, you know, you see that. And quite often in the past, it's done quite well, but maybe they're not so in the last couple of months. I've also experimented with a Piat Pre Shadow Black Lane search deck, and it's a very slow deck because you kind of need to get set up. But then, you know, as you go later into the plots, your opponent knows you've got two Drakkhauses in your hand. They know you've got some other cool tricks in your hand, so it's really quite controlly. And I've had two people actually say that that was the worst experience they've had playing Thrones, playing against me.
Oh no.
In a good way, I think. Okay. You know, I take that as a compliment. Obviously, there's the Hyperburn, full-on Grey Worm, Astapor, Dragon is no slave. That's a lot of fun. It's also kind of a slow burner as well, because you need to get that gold on Astapor, so it's all about timing. There's a bit more location control in the meta now, although, you know, Frozen Solid on Astapor doesn't look so good. And what I have done in the past is I've been trying to build, you know, Hyperburn decks before really they were a thing. So certainly before Astapor came out, you know, I was playing with Dragonsight and Daenerys' Favor. And, you know, I think my claim to fame in Thrones is actually burning the 7-strength Red Viper and Fast Eddie in the same challenge. And this is before Astapor, before Dragon is No Slave. It was a crazy turn. So I'm going to remember this right. You know, my opponent did a power challenge with Fast Eddie and Viper. My Daenerys was standing, so they're already strength minus one. I play two lots of Dragonsight. That's right, two lots of Dragonsight. I put three in the deck, and they can be good now and again. So that makes Fast Eddie strength three and the Red Viper four. So I just took Harris, the Red Viper. He's dead. I then defend the challenge from Daenerys, who has Daenerys' favor on her. So Eddard is still strength three. And now I win the challenge. So I use my Nelt Rhaegal to stand Daenerys, making Eddard strength two. And then because it's a power challenge, I kneel Powers of Punishment and kill Eddard. And then, of course, renowned in Insight for winning the challenge. It's pretty awesome.
Love it.
Yeah. On to some more decks. I've seen the Brotherhood Without Banners Targaryen Wildling / Phrase has been popular. I've seen Scantral post up a list. And I've played one game with it, and I don't know how I won that game. I was in no position to win, but it just seemed to have some good cards, especially on small boards after all the resets. You know, I was able to stand my guys and do multiple challenges. So I think that's a thing to consider. I've also built a Dothraki deck. I mean, there's just a lot of synergies there. So I wouldn't say it's a competitive deck, but it's certainly something you can play when you don't fancy burning your opponents to the ground. You can just try and play the Horse Lords and try and use the Iron Bank will have its due on your 8-cost army that cost you like one or two gold to play.
Nice.
To get even more gold. Yeah, Dothraki Outriders. But they're terrible for setup, and eight-cost character that you don't want to see them in your setup hand.
Yeah.
Also in the past, you know, I think the Rush variant of Targ, Lord of the Crossing with Silver Steed and Relentless Assault, Superior Claim, I think that's a thing as well. It's probably not as fast as other Rush decks, but I think you've got maybe some control options, you know, especially if you've got the Dragons and people are playing around your Drakkhaeris in the early game, you know, you could definitely get a lead there. So that leaves us with three more decks, actually. I'll save the best for last. So, yeah, there's a Targ Reigns list, which I hear is a thing. you know, one of the players in the south of England has been trying to make that a thing, and he's been playing a lot of it. There's a lot of videos on YouTube. So I think that's a decent build as well. I've also heard on various podcasts about a Targ Knights deck. I think I can imagine what's in that deck. Maybe a couple of Knighteds, put on Aggo. You're getting your stand with a Sir Barristan, maybe Banner in some Knights from Lannister, possibly.
Possibly Tyrell. I see.
Probably Tyrell.
You sound possibly Tyrell. I could see going that way, especially with Knight of Flowers attacking alone, just a touch of burn from Targaryen. I think pretty well ensures he wins whatever challenge you throw him at. Things like that that'd be the direction I would go if I was.
Yeah. Yeah, the Knight of Flowers, when you can stand him multiple times, is he's pretty awesome,
mm-hmm,
isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. So the last deck is the deck I took to a quarter three GNK at Dark Sphere in London, and that was a Street of Silk deck. And I think now we've got to the point where we've got enough companions and allies and plenty of lords, so you can certainly be like putting 20 companions, allies in your deck, 12 or so lords, and you're really aiming to get that Street of Silk off. And it's just really an extra draw every turn, because you're going to win a challenge with a lord or lady, either on offense or defense. And it's just a really good way of like top decking a person you can play, you know, and bringing that into the deck. So I won my first three games playing that against some really competitive decks. But then I played Issin in the fourth and final round. I was playing as Greyjoy Reigns, which crushed me quickly as well. So yeah, I think there's a solid basis for playing it. Wide variety of Targ decks in the current meta. I think some are more competitive than others. What do you think, Will?
I think with anything, some decks are going to be more competitive than others, but I think it's pretty much an illustration that we've reached a maturity of the card pool now, even without the deluxe for Targaryen, as you said, that there are quite a few themes to experiment with and build with and play that are relatively viable. I mean, viable does not necessarily mean, you know, top tier, break everything, run away with any tournament you play in, but that can build, you know, competent decks, I guess is the best way to get after what I'm going at there. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I think it's a great time for the game, really. I mean, we see spoilers of the new cards. One I've got of interest is the Faceless Man, who looks great in Targ, to be honest. You know, your Daenerys Targaryen gets killed, but you've got this guy out. He's got the Stormborn trait.
Yeah.
You know, he's standing, getting renowned. He's got stealth, and on the reverse, if you've got a dragon in the dead pile, He's quite dangerous as well. You know, they got to be careful about putting Tyrion into a challenge.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to say it at this point, Matt, but I think we may have exhausted our run for a short form show. But I will very, very happily have you back again on the show, and we can keep hammering out different topics in various little easily digestible chunks for the listeners. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Will, for having me. I'm gonna go get some more.